Knock, knock. If you're just tuning in, and if you haven't listened to the first part of this episode, please go back and listen to part one, and then this part will make a little bit more sense. Thank you so much, and happy listening.
Hello, my name is Na'an Alobwede. I be the author of Scars to Stars, my new book where I just recently published. This book, they tell you my story of abuse, mentally, physically, and emotionally, and my choice for stay in a relationship where it be very, very bad, toxic, and unhealthy for me. I did share my story today with the hope say it will inspire, encourage, and even strengthen any person really go through the things and way I get to go through. So, make we talk, make we discuss, and make we get a conversation on this matter.
Salut, je suis Anne Alobwede, auteur de Cicatrices aux étoiles. Ma mémoire récemment publiée qui raconte mon histoire de violence mentale, physique et émotionnelle, et mon choix de rester dans une relation malsaine jusqu'à ça devient une choix de la vie ou de la mort.
Je partage mon histoire avec l'espoir que ça va inspirer, encourager ou fortifier quelqu'un. Donc, parlons et ayons une conversation.
Hey, Bad Family. This is your sister and your friend Nkiru, and I just want to thank you so much for tuning in today. So I'm coming to you just to give you a brief heads up about what today's episode is on. This episode is actually a little bit heavier than what we normally discuss on the show. We do have to give you a trigger warning. We talk about domestic violence, spousal abuse, and other forms of abuse that my guest Anne Alobwede has gone through in the writing of her story, Scars to Stars, a memoir. She shares her story of coming to the U.S. as an international student, going to nursing school, becoming a registered nurse, and somehow along the process, getting involved in a toxic relationship that ultimately led to her imprisonment. She emphasizes the importance of asking for help from loved ones, finding therapy through writing and sharing her story, and the beauty of finding the good in every situation. So please stay tuned, and I hope that you enjoy.
You know, but God had other plans, and he sent my brother right on time when he got into the kitchen and stopped that because he had other plans for me.
Thank you, sis. So I'm just going to ask one more question as it relates to this, and I'm going to go on like on a happier note. Okay. So, like, to be honest, reading your story, like, a lot of things were pretty triggering to me. Like, I was personally kind of getting upset at different moments because, you know, I hate reading about injustice or hearing about injustice. I hate, you know, people being mistreated, especially at the hands of someone who's supposed to, you know, love them and care for them. So, you know, it was definitely hard to read it in the beginning, like when you were telling your story, like how you got from point A to point B and then, you know, everything that led up to the arrest and everything else. But I think one of the things that possibly bothered me the most is the fact that I think so many women and even men, because it's not just, you know, exclusive to women, who are going through or who are living through like abusive relationships. Sometimes, like maybe when they report their abusers, sometimes not a lot is done, or maybe the abuser somehow gets away with it. But then when things turn around, let's say the one who's being abused, like in your case, finally kind of snaps, as you know, the word that you used earlier, and, you know, attacks or, you know, does something in retaliation to the other person, somehow they end up getting in trouble and spending, like, you know, years in prison or whatever the case may be, having to serve like extensive sentences when they were the ones who have been abused for all these years. So, I mean, I don't know if you can like truly speak to the fact of, you know, what can people do if they are in these situations? Like, how can they maybe document it so they can kind of protect themselves so that, you know, in the future, you know, they won't have to worry about maybe spending time behind bars when they were the ones who were dealing with the, you know, the abuse and the oppression. And then the other question along with that is, like, did anything happen to him as far as like any type of jail time or any type of, you know, fines or any other punishment? Like, like if you were to see him today, how have you been able to kind of get over those feelings? Have you fully forgiven him? Like I think your mom was saying in the book, like, have you fully kind of gotten over, like, are you at peace with everything that's happened, I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
Okay, I'm gonna start with the first question. If there's anybody out there who's being abused, man or woman, because it can happen to anybody, abuse is not, a lot of people think that only women are abused. There are men out there who are being abused too. If you're in an abusive relationship, you need to get away from them and call the police. And especially immigrants, if you're, I'm just putting this out there, if you're married to somebody and they're holding, you know, trying to file paperwork for you through USCIS for your legal status, and they're using that as, you know, as a bait, and they're putting their hands on you, you need to call the cops. I know a lot of people are scared. If I call the cops, like in my situation, if I call the police, you know, I might get deported when they find out that I have no legal status. But there are so many ways that the immigration system can help you with that. So if anybody's putting their hands on you, the only way that it can be documented is if you inform the authorities, if you call them. And I wish I would have done that. I remember my criminal defense attorney mentioned it a lot of times that I wish you should have called, you know, the police, and I wish this was documented, you know. Things would have been a little bit different as regards my sentencing and my prison time. But please notify somebody if you're being abused. And if it's emotional and mental, leave them alone and get away from them. Go as far away from them as you can, because it's not worth it. You know, it's either going to end two ways. One person is going to lose their life, or you might end up in the same situation that I ended up in. So think about it and ask yourself if it's worth it. To address the next question, I haven't seen my ex-husband. I don't know where he's at. I don't know anything about his whereabouts. But I did forgive him. And I take some kind of responsibility for what he did to me, because it was my responsibility to leave the relationship, you know, but I made the choice to stay. And now I don't know what I'm going to say or do if I ever come across him, or if I ever met him, but I don't wish him bad. I just hope that he, you know, he's not out there doing what he did to me to some other person, because nobody deserves to go through what he put me through. And I have forgiven him. It was hard. It was very, very hard. It's not easy. And sometimes I even try to catch myself and tell myself, do you really think that you've forgiven him? But I realized that I'm forgiving him, because sometimes, like in the past when I was incarcerated, I used to pray for him. And to me, that was something that, you know, showed me that I've actually forgiven him. I've let go so I can have my peace and so I can move on with my life. And forgiving him has helped me to move on, you know, emotionally. And I had to tell myself that if you don't forgive him, somebody good is going to come your way, and you will always think that they are him. Because for a while, I didn't want to be in a relationship or anything. I didn't want to deal with stuff like that because I was, I had PTSD. I was traumatized, but I have forgiven him and I've let go. But I do urge anybody out there, if you're in an abusive relationship, if you don't know what an abusive relationship looks like, call somebody and talk to them. Go online and research. Just to make sure that you're either in the right place or you're not in the right place. So, yeah.
And actually, I forgot to include this in my notes, but now that I remember it, you mentioned the fact that, because I think some people in their minds, they may think, okay, well, it's only a person who doesn't have a strong sense of self-worth that gets into these kind of situations. But from what, from your book, you said, that your dad kind of instilled into you and to your sisters, how strong you were, how beautiful you were, how intelligent you were, and, how great you were as young women. So it's clear that you had that kind of upbringing. You had a good sense of self and everything else like that. So how does one make the connection of having this strong sense of self and then still getting involved in things that maybe they probably wouldn't have expected themselves to be in?
So I think when you love somebody, you tend to believe everything that they say. You tend to believe everything that they say about you. And I think that was it for me. And like you said, when you read in my book, I always grew up with a really, really high self-esteem because my dad always made sure to tell my sisters and I that we were smart, we were beautiful, and we had so much potential and we're intelligent. And he still does that till today. If you read in my book, my dad always tells us that he loves us, and he makes us understand our worth. But even if you've had that kind of upbringing and you've had that kind of security from your parents, and you meet somebody and you fall in love with them, most of the times when you love somebody, whatever that person says to you, you turn to believe it. And with time, you just think that whatever that person says you are, that is who you are, positive or negative. When you have a significant order in your life that appreciates you and tells you how good you look every day, how beautiful you are, and gives you all this positive attributes, you believe it and you walk in self-confidence and you're like, oh my God, if my man or my woman thinks this about me, then I'm all that and a bag of chips. But when they start telling you that you're stupid, you're dumb, you're this, you're that, if they start talking negative to you, then gradually and slowly you lose all your self-worth and all your self-esteem. And even it works even with parents. You know how they say that you have to speak positive to your kids? Because what you tell your kids that they are, they start to believe that that's what they are. So it's the same thing. And because your kids love you, because they love mommy and daddy, or whatever mommy and daddy says I am, that's what I am. And because, it's the same thing, I love my dad, I love my parents, so everything that they said that I was or I could become when I was a little girl and growing up, I believed it. And I had that great self-esteem. And then I met somebody who just crashed my self-esteem, little by little, little by little, until at some point I felt like I had none left. But I want to encourage anybody out there too. It's never too late to build your self-esteem back up. You may feel like you don't have it, but you have it. And it's not left to people to build it back up. It's left to you to build it back up. So it's never too late. You can lose your self-esteem and regain it if you want to.
Thank you, sis. That was very beautiful. And I really love that analogy that you gave as far as parents speaking positively to the children and then them believing, those great things that the parents are saying towards them, and also how it works on the reverse. If parents are speaking negatively, that child is going to believe those negative things. So it's really important to build, you know, our children, build ourselves and build those around us up, so that they can be the best person that they can possibly be for themselves and for others. So just to kind of like, you know, get on a more positive note, even though, you know, of course, life in prison is probably not like a very positive thing, but maybe you probably might argue that it was probably a good thing for you. Like, would you kind of say that despite everything that went on, obviously, it probably was, you know, as we say, everything happens for a reason. But would you say that you kind of going to jail kind of changed your life in many ways, maybe for good?
I would say that it did change my life. It saved my life because I could have probably been dead. You know, stress and, you know, like I said, I was depressed, could have killed me. It gave me time to regroup. I wasn't happy being there because I was away from my family. I didn't have my freedom, but like you said, everything happens for a reason. And I believe that God allowed, because he could have might as well stopped it from happening, but he allowed for me to experience that because he had so many lessons that he wanted to teach me. Because believe it or not, every single day behind bars, I had a lesson. Mm-hmm. There was a learning every single day. And I came out looking at life differently, much more differently than I did prior to that. When I went into prison, when I got locked up, I was 25. And when I got home, I was 31. So I feel like I basically grew up there. Mm-hmm. And even though I was separated from the society and people out here, it gave me time to reflect on my life and the decisions that I made, the mistakes that I made, and to think about what was next, you know, what next, how can you fix this, you know. And believe it or not, I did a lot of soul searching and a lot of fixing me while I was in there.
That's deep. So, I mean, you just said you celebrated 6 birthdays in prison, and yes. And you had like a birthday party each time. So I think that was really sweet that your fellow inmates hosted parties for you. So despite the hardship and challenges that you faced, you know, during that time, as you just mentioned, I love that one thing that I really like appreciated while reading your story. I love the fact that you were able to find joy in the little things and you made the most out of your situation. And you talked about some of the close friends and people that you met along the way, you know, that kind of helped your journey to be a little bit easier, like Eve, Ms. Johnson, Ella, Rosa, and some others. And you also found cleaning the bathrooms, not just as a job, but as a service that you could do for other people to, you know, help bring a smile to their face and just kind of make things easier for them. And then you also took up a small business certification course, a catering class, and obviously you even wrote this book during that time. So what are some of those lessons that, you know, you just discussed that you hope that readers of your book and those that are tuning into this chat will learn from your experiences, you know, coming to the U.S. as an international student, studying for and becoming a registered nurse, and then unfortunately, you know, as things change, getting involved with a toxic person, being locked up for 6 years, and then coming out now to tell your story. And especially for, you know, young girls and even young boys, and like your nieces and nephews or younger cousins or anyone else, what do you hope that, you know, your story will tell them?
For one, I want people to learn from my story that your circumstances might change, you know. It's not guaranteed that you will live a all happy life. Like they say, life is not always a bed of roses. But I want to encourage people out there to always make the best of your situation and wherever you are. And one thing I kept telling myself when I was incarcerated, every morning when I wake up, some mornings I didn't want to wake up, some mornings I wake up and I'll look around my cell and I'm like, oh my God, I'm still here. But then I told myself, I'll have to push myself and say, hey, you still have life. You know, you still have life. You can walk around. You have strength in your body. You can, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do. So I learned not to worry about my environment, my physical environment. And I tried to make the best of the situation, do the things that I could not have done while I was out here. I learned a lot of things while I was in there. I took every opportunity to educate myself. You know, most of the classes that were taught there were like certification classes. And if, when you read it in my book, a lot of people will make fun of me, like, you have a bachelor's degree, why are you taking all these certification classes, you know? But they say knowledge is power, so I took my classes, and some of them have helped me, like the catering class that I took, you know, I has helped me a lot out here with my cake business. And I just want to encourage anyone out there, whatever happens to you, whatever life throws at you, you have to always keep your hope alive. As long as you have breath, as long as you have strength in your body, you're going to make it through. You're going to make it through. Don't worry about what people say, because people will always talk. Think about you and think about how you're going to, you know, turn your mistakes around, you know, dust yourself up. When you fall, you dust yourself up and get back up and keep going, because nobody's going to do it for you. You can have family and friends that are going to support you, but at the end of the day, it is your sole responsibility to get back up when you fall. So just make the best of every situation or circumstance, you know, that life throws at you. That's what I did. And keeping a positive mindset helped me a lot. Surrounding myself with positive people, talking to positive people helped me a lot. Staying away from negativity and people who don't have anything good to say but negative. I don't know about you, but negative energy drains me. So I just want people to be encouraged that if I could make it through, you can make it through.
I love that. So finally, I want to ask, do you look at love and relationships differently? And what do you think it will take for you to feel ready for a true love at this stage in your life?
I do look at it differently. And the only thing that I look at differently is love should not hurt. You know, love should not make me hurt, like, physically, and it shouldn't make my heart hurt. You know, I still think that there are good people out there. There are good men out there. In the beginning, I did not want to have to deal with any man. I didn't even want to hear it because I had been through a lot of trauma. But I don't want people, especially young girls and people who are trying to, you know, who are out there dating and, you know, getting involved in relationships, to look at my story and think that, you know, true love isn't out there, because true love is out there. But I personally think right now that the worst thing that a boyfriend or a girlfriend can do to you is put you through abuse, regardless of whatever form it is, because if somebody loves you, they will not want to see you hurt, you know? So I do look at love a little bit different. I'm a little bit more cautious. Let me say that. Now I see those signs everywhere and I'm very much careful. But that is not to say that they're not good people out there, or there's not a good man out there, you know, who will treat me the way that I deserve to be treated.
Very powerful point. So this is just to kind of make a kind of a funny comment. You know, kind of growing up, you know, we always hear like our African parents, African aunties and uncles, they kind of view, you know, dating like, oh, you know, focus on your studies, focus on your books. Don't worry about that until you're like, you know, you've graduated college and you've done all this. So like, just kind of with that in mind a little bit, like, would you kind of say maybe the same thing to like your, maybe your nieces and your nephews, like as they're growing up, to kind of focus in one direction or the other? Or how would you, I guess, guide them as it relates to, you know, relationships as they grow up?
Well, my little sisters, and you know, one of my sisters is married, and she's married to an amazing man. I love my brother-in-law. My other sister is in a relationship with somebody that I, you know, I think is good for her. And but I have a niece, and a lot of people know that I'm fond of her. That's my baby. And from my experiences, I pray for her every day, and I hope that she finds, when she gets older, she finds a man that will love her the way that she deserves to be loved. But when you talk about focusing on school and all of that stuff, I don't think that finishing school is a prerequisite for you to date or to get married, you know. I think if the right person comes, you know, take that opportunity, you know. I think people should pay more attention to, is it the right person for me? Am I being treated right? Am I being loved the right way? Am I being loved the way that God desires for this man to love me? Because if he's not loving you the way that God wants him to love you, or if she's not loving you the way God desires for her to love you, then it's not the right situation for you to be in. So I don't think, you know, African parents are all about, you need to finish school before you get married, and it's not a prerequisite, and I won't make it a prerequisite for my kids or my niece, because I have seen very successful marriages where either of them didn't even finish school before they got married, and they finished school while they were married and probably already had kids and all of that. So I don't think that finishing school or achieving success in your career should be a prerequisite for marriage.
That's a good point. I think, to be honest, I think the most important thing is just before you get into anything with anyone, just know who you are and know what you stand for, so that if someone is presenting something that is contrary to what you believe, then you know, this is not for me. And, you know, just find, I guess, enough maybe appreciation of your own self, you know, knowing what it is you like, what you don't like, and like understanding who you are, I think, before, you know, anything like that. So I think that's definitely one thing that everyone should do. And so sis, could you, first of all, thank you so much. I really appreciate the fact that you took this time to, you know, write your story for us to all read and learn from, and that you were willing to come on and talk to us about your experiences. I know it can be, you know, challenging to kind of talk about these things sometimes. So, you know, as we round up, what are some things you can say to the listeners and to the viewers? You know, some final words of encouragement, and also how they can reach you, how they can support your business, how they could, you know, buy your book, or just anything that you would like to say as we close out.
I just have one message to leave to my listeners. If I can bounce back, you can bounce back. It's never too late. Sometimes you're going to have to turn the volume down on all the external noises out there, because it is your responsibility to get yourself back, to dust yourself up and to stand up and keep pushing and keep moving. And it's never too late. I used to panic when I was locked up. I used to think, I'm like, oh my God, when I get out, I'm going to be 30. Oh my God, I probably won't ever get married again. Oh my God, I probably won't have kids because it's going to be too late. But it's never too late. It's never, never too late. Don't let people deceive you into thinking that, you know, life is over because you took a wrong direction. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that there's no hope for you anymore and that's the end. So I just want to encourage everybody out there who's listening that, you know, it's not over until God says it's done. And to purchase my book, the title is Scars to Stars. It's available on Amazon. To purchase an autographed copy, you can go to my website, scars to stars.com. You can visit my Facebook page for any questions that you have in regards to the book. My Facebook page name is Ann Alobuede, and you can visit me on Instagram, same thing, Ann Alobuede. And it was nice, you know, talking a little bit about myself and my story and sharing my experiences with you. And it was a pleasure.
I appreciate you so much for being here. And I really hope that your story, you know, can help someone else who may be going through this or is seeing signs in their own lives. So thank you again for opening up and allowing others into your world and into your experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me have this opportunity to talk a little bit about my story and the message of my book.
All right. Thank you, sis.
Thank you.